Well, here we are, Macclesfield, once again, joy, pleasure to be in your midst. Down?
Turn it up.
Up.
Yeah, you can do it quite a bit, it's very fine.
Right, is that a better?
Yeah.
Well, it's a joy and pleasure, Macclesfield, be in your midst again here today. Bring to you the glad tidings, as the Bible says, it's for all people, even for the townsfolk of Macclesfield. Glad tidings, good news for men and women such as yourself and myself, sinners separated from God, alienated from Him and from the life of God, and He's given to you a Saviour, Christ of the Lord, Son of God, who came into the world to save, not to make you healthy, wealthy, you've already got that, but to save you from a very real and known danger, that of your sin. And of course, the unbelieving, wicked hearts of unbelief. Jesus Christ is Lord, the Bible says. God manifested in the flesh, your maker, your lawgiver, your judge, and the one who today, should you trust in him, would be your redeemer, savior even. Save you from your sins. The Bible declares, even yet now in this late hour, last days, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, gave him, that is, unto the death of the cross, suffered, bled and died, crucified, dead and buried, raised again from the dead, in order that you might know the free love of God, see a reconciliation, call for you today. Be ye reconciled to God. Amazing, astonishing love of God in Jesus Christ. And that he, the Son of God, even from his throne here today, as I speak to you, as I bring the glad tidings to you, he himself, from his very throne, pleads with you that you be reconciled to God. And of course, that's a possibility. How? Well, not through anything you do, not through anything man does, but simply and only because God himself has, done the business, accomplishing and sending his Son Jesus Christ into the world, accomplishing what his law could never do, couldn't save us, couldn't reconcile us to himself, only through what God himself has done. And that is, of course, sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, in order that through faith in the Son of God that you might be redeemed. So you'd like to have a copy of God's Word. It's offered to you freely. We have Bibles here, New Testaments. This here Gospel of John, I would say, is a good place to begin reading the Bible if you've never read it before. Here you can read about the person of Jesus, who and what he is. My recommendation to you is that you read it over and over again with the question in your mind, who and what is Jesus Christ? And of course, the answer is clearly given there, that he's the Son of God with power, the Son of Man, the God-man who came into the world, so loved the world that he came and suffered that death of the cross, shed his precious blood in order that you might be washed and made clean, reconciled to God. So you like to have a copy of God's written word, as I say, it's offered to you quite freely, you're simply and only for the taking. And if you have a question pertaining to these matters, ask away. I don't have the answers to all your philosophical dilemmas, but I do have the answer to the most important question of them all: what must I do to be saved? And the answer to that question, plain and simple, given to us in God's Word itself: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And if you'd like somebody pray for you, perhaps, maybe that God would indeed save you, enlighten you, give to you the breath of life, then I would be more than happy to do that for you also. We're here only simply to point you in the right direction, and there's only one of those. Jesus says, I, with some emphasis on the I am the way, the only way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is to say, no one gets right with God but by him. Jesus Christ, the only Savior, Jesus of Nazareth. Listen up to God's word, will you? Here today, listen, hear these words. The Apostle Peter says, hear these words, because it's in hearing God's word that's how men and women come to faith in Jesus Christ and to salvation. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you don't listen, if you don't hearken, if you don't heed, don't take on board what's spoken to you, declared to you, preached unto you, how can you be saved? And how can you be saved without a preacher, the Bible says. So we come to you, the authority of God's word, authority of God himself. Bring to you the glad tidings. Bring to you the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hear these words, says the Apostle. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves know. Jesus, Son of God, a man approved of God, the man Christ Jesus, only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, Son of God, made of a woman, made under the law, took our nature, took our flesh, yet without sin, suffered and bled and died, and rose again from the dead, in order that you might be saved. Approved of God, of course, by the things that he done. He only ever went about doing good. Even his enemies, even those who had him crucified, even they testified. They said, no man ever opened the eyes of the blind, but this man did. Many signs and wonders were performed by him, proving, showing, demonstrating, evidencing that he was and is not just simply a man, but the God-man. God manifest in the flesh, manifested how? Well, by these signs and wonders, these miracles that he performed, healing terminal disease, opening the eyes of the blind, and of course raising the dead to life. By these wonders that he performed, he showed, demonstrated himself to be who he claimed to be, the Son of God, who with power. And of course, taken, well, according to God's counsel and foreknowledge, was taken and by wicked hands, crucified and slain on that cross. But all in the plan of God, all intentional. Yes, sir. Help you?
Oh, just having three Bibles, is it?
You like one, sir?
Excuse me, sir?
Would you like one?
Of course, yeah, why not? Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I just started going to church recently, so.
Oh, yeah. Good for you. Which one are you going?
It's the one up in top of Kennedy Avenue.
Right, no, I don't know.
Well, I've only been the one, so I've got to go this Sunday as well, so.
That's okay, yeah. That's good.
So is this the New Testament or the Old Testament? Or is it the King James?
No, it's both.
Is it the both, yeah?
Yeah, which do you prefer, like?
The original one, you know, the one that's...
The King James?
Yeah, the oldest one.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I've got that too.
The
one that's not been, you know, tampered with.
it's the best one. There you go. And if I could recommend, sir, that if you look for the New Testament, find John's Gospel.
John's Gospel.
And start there.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you.
That's a place to begin, yeah?
Appreciate that.
And read it over and over again
with
the question in your mind, who and what is Jesus? Yeah? Okay.
The Anunnaki, what were they called now? The Sumerians.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were the first civilization was in Sumeria, which was Iran, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Thank you so
much.
Appreciate it.
You're
a good man.
You're
thank you.
God bless. Right. So you said a simple, demonstration of how a person, gets right with God. They just receive. Just as a gentleman there received a copy of God's written word, well, you receive the living word of God. The Son of God, Jesus, you take him and you get salvation. You get him, you get all the blessings of God that are found in him, in Jesus Christ. But anyways, I was saying before I was interrupted that Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, by all the things that he did, by the miracles that he performed, and of course attested by God to be who and what he declared himself to be. And so you see, we have God's record here in his word, God's testimony. You see, if you say it's not true, then you call God a liar. It's God's breathed out word, every single jot and tittle of it. And God has given us his record so that we might know these things, so that we might know what was done to Jesus of Nazareth, the man Christ Jesus, sent into the world to be a savior, to do for us what we can't do for ourselves, that is to deal with our sin, because here's the problem. See, it's more, much more, than just... what we think and what we say and what we do, our actions are sinful and wicked. But where does that come from, Maybe sometimes you ask yourself the question, a quieter, more lucid moment, Maybe you think to yourself, why do I do the things that I do? I know them to be wrong. I know they're going to cause me trouble. I know they're going to cause me misery. But I keep on doing, why do I keep on doing these things? Why don't I stop? Well, the Bible answers that question. It's sin in you. It's sin in us all. It's in our DNA. It's part of the very fabric of our beings. We're conceived in sin, the Bible says. We're born in sin. And we live and die in it and go to a lost eternity, but that is for the grace of God coming to us, intervening, saving us by grace through faith alone are we saved in Christ and Christ alone. So he sent into the world, and he comes into the world, and he does for us what we can't do for ourselves. We can't undo, we can't get that sin out of our DNA, out of our natures. We come into the world, with a sinful nature, out of which comes, what you do naturally, And what you do naturally? You naturally sin. How can you, God says, how can you who are accustomed, quite naturally, that is, how can you who are accustomed to doing evil, how can you do good? I don't doubt for a moment there'd be many people in Macclesfield today who would class themselves as good people. I'm a good person, I'm a nice person, I do good, maybe you hope to help the homeless or something like that, give to charities and all. Yeah, I'm a good person, I'm okay, you say, Well, God says, no, you're not. God says, there's none good, and there's none that doeth good. There's none righteous, not a single one. And in that day, you see, when you close your eyes in death and you open the other side, you're confronted with the judge of all the earth. God has given notice to the world, don't you know, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God has given notice to the world that he intends to judge all civilization. Every man, woman, and child born into this world will stand before God in that day. And here's the thing, if there's not been a change in your nature, if that original nature in which you came into the world wasn't changed, and not a point in history that you can point back to at that time and say, that's when I was reborn, that's when God came to me in his grace and changed and transformed me by that grace, made me a new creature in his Son, Jesus Christ. Unless you can point to such an experience as that, I tell you, you're history for time and for eternity. So in that day, when God judges us, judges you, judges I, judges us all, in that day, what's he looking for? He's looking for men and women who are in Jesus Christ, trusting in Jesus Christ, that is, their Savior and their Lord. That's the only thing that gets you a pass in that day. That's why Jesus says, in John's Gospel, he says, you must be born again. That is, God must come to you, and come to you, that is, through what I'm doing here today, the preaching of the gospel, through the heralding of the good news, the glad tidings, God coming to you, to your dead soul, to your sinful nature, changing your very nature, changing your very DNA, if you like, and giving you a new nature, making you a partaker, as the Bible says, of the divine nature, his own nature. God coming to you, putting his life into your dead soul, and shedding his love abroad in your heart by his Holy Spirit, born of the Spirit of God. A question for you, Macclesfield here today, you might be religious, maybe you go to church, I don't know, you know, maybe you got a different religion altogether. Have you been born again? That's the ultimate question. Jesus says you must be. Jesus says it. The Bible records it. God says it. Ye must be born again. You say, why do you keep saying that? Because you must be. It's imperative. Unless you're born again, you can't see, you can't perceive, you can't even begin to understand the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. How do you enter God's kingdom? Well, Jesus says you repent and believe the gospel. But how do you repent and believe the gospel? How does a dead soul, a dead sinner, without any life in him, spiritual life in him or her, how does she perform such as that? Well, you can't. The grace of God must come to you first. God must breathe the breath of life into your soul first, resurrect you. It's not religion that you need. This isn't religion. This is the love of God in the giving and the sending of his Son, his one and only Son, into the world, that through him that you might be saved. Dead religion can't put life into a dead soul. A dead prophet or a dead pope can't put life into a dead soul. They're just as dead as you are. It's a living, it's a risen Savior, a conquering Savior, one who has come and done the business, done for you what you can't do for yourself, what you're unable to do. Jesus Christ, who came, took our flesh, took our nature, lived and loved and died, and rose again from the dead. What for? In order to take away, deal with your sin, take it away, so far away that not even God himself can find it anymore. Take away your sin, your guilt, your shame, your blame. Lift the curse and the wrath of God from off of you. Even now the Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold down, suppress the truth of the knowledge of God in unrighteousness and wickedness. Even as I speak to you, the wrath and the curse of God lies upon you, upon the entirety of humankind. That's why we need a Savior. That's why Jesus had to come. That's why he had to suffer, bleed, and die, and rise again from the dead. Only a risen, conquering Son of God can save you, can perform in you and for you what you can't do for yourself. made of a woman, made under the law, to deliver, to save those under the condemnation of the law. Jesus, I don't condemn you. I'm not here to condemn you. You're a sinner to a man, to a woman. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not righteous as God, no, not one. No, I don't condemn you. What are your sins? What's the stripe of sin that's particular to you? Sexual immorality, idolatry, false religion, blasphemy, theft, killing by means of abortion or euthanasia, drugs, violence, whatever your sin might be. Much, much deeper than that. It's in your very, it's your very nature. The sin nature. Sin nature has to be dealt with. Sin nature has to be altered, changed, transformed by the grace and the power of God. Or whatever your sin might be. I'm not here to condemn you, I'm not here to judge you. I'm a sinner just the same as yourself. Jesus himself says, I didn't come to condemn, I didn't come to judge men, I came to save them. Jesus doesn't have to condemn you, I don't have to condemn you. You're already condemned. This is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, but men preferred love darkness. Won't have the light. Already under the condemnation of God. Your very being. Your sin nature, and then all the practice that comes pouring out of that. Jesus said, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Murder, blasphemy, theft, killing, all these sins that fill up your world today. Where do they come from? Out of the same fountain, out of the sinful nature of humankind. Conceived, born in sin. Live and die in sin, unless by the grace of God, through the preaching of the gospel, you are brought to faith, to trust in Jesus Christ, the one who has done the business. All that's left for you to do, I say all, but it's a big one, it must be given to you. It's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order for you to be saved. Faith is a gift of God. Repentance is a gift of God. Both are required of you. Can't do it yourself. No more believe, no more repent. And you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Must be given to you. It's all the gift of God. It's all by grace. Start to finish, beginning to end. Grace of God, the free grace of God, comes to you in the preaching of the gospel. But of course, as Jesus says, you can ask. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he says, and all the rest shall be added unto you. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. He will show mercy, abundantly pardon. It's out of the merciful heart of God that the good news, this glad tidings, comes to you. God's immense love, the generosity of his love in giving to you his very best, the apple of his eye, his son, his only begotten son, and sending him into an evil, wicked, sin-cursed, wrath-filled world in order that a sinner such as you, a rebel from God, a transgressor of God's law, that you might be saved, that you might be a recipient of God's free grace and love. Go to find God's love in this world. Doesn't matter where you look. Up one side and down the other. You look to the left, to the right, up, down. The only thing that you can see in your sin-cursed world today is nothing but the wrath of God. That's all. Everywhere you look, the wrath of God, the Bible says, is revealed. and hates its neighbour, is never done killing, is never done perverting all the good things that God gives to mankind, even the good gifts that he gives to you in his grace. You take them, you pervert them, and you use them in service to Satan and to sin. And the astonishing, the amazing thing, such a world as this, such a humanity as this, and yet God, in the immensity of his love, sends his only begotten Son into the world that through him a rebel such as you might be reconciled to God in the way of grace, in the way of faith, and the favor of God, the free grace of God, through faith, believing, trusting in Jesus Christ, apart from works. Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, apart from any works, no contribution of yours, nothing that you have to offer, nothing that you can contribute to this. It is simply freely only taken, it's received, it is a sheer, unadulterated gift from God. Rejecting the salvation of God, you go on rejecting the Son of God, and you're faced with the judgment of God. Under the judgment of God now, look at your world, look at your nation. The evidence of God's judgment upon you, is it not clear? Is it not yet evident to you? Can you not yet see it? Can you see the evidence of his wrath all over your nation, all over you like a veritable rash? The brokenness of your nation, your country, and all your politicians and all your philosophers together can't put it back together again. Day by day it grows worse, sinks deeper and deeper into the insanity, I say insanity, the madness of human sin. Insanity of the perversions of human sexuality, perverting the holy institution of marriage, of family life, destroyed it completely and utterly. And now the insanity of transgenderism. The very idea that you can change the sexuality of a human being. If that's not insanity, tell me what is. Or you can give somebody drugs. You can perform some kind of surgery on them. And you can maybe make a man look like a woman, or make a woman look like a man. But you can't make a man think like a woman, and you can't make a woman think like a man. Because they are not only physically different, they're obviously psychologically different too. Insanity, the madness, continues day by day, gets worse and worse. Sin, evident, or ought to be, but man doesn't have the cure. Religion doesn't have the cure, that's just as bad.
Hello. People are really religious around here.
Are they?
Yeah, really religious. So, like, that's really Christian. Yeah. Are you not?
Yeah.
Okay, so I feel like this is the wrong place to be preaching. It's also the safest Tory seat in the UK. So I feel like this is the wrong place to be preaching about, like, how you hate transgender people.
It's probably the most wicked. You are conceived in sin, you are called in interesting. I'm not maybe about it. God says, he'll tell you what his word says. So it's not me you're coming against. God, Christ himself that you're coming against, because the Spirit of Christ is in me. He's speaking in me and through me to you. So it's him that you're coming against. It's him that you're opposing. And one day he's going to be your judge today. He's the Lamb of God who's taken away the sin of the world and would take yours away should you believe, trust in him. But the day's coming when he's going to judge you. Must all appear before the judgment throne of Christ. All of us, yourself and myself included. Yes, I'm telling
you. Yeah, I'm just reading the sign.
Okay. Yeah. Myself. So like I say, friends, judge Jesus, you know? He's the one, you know, God says it in that day, you know? He's given notice to you, you know, that he intends to judge the world in righteousness. In righteousness, in a perfect righteousness, there'll be no excuses then, no blame shifting, you know, no pointing the finger at somebody else. It was him, it was her, it wasn't my fault, he didn't mean to do it. It will be clearly shown in that day, a judgment of perfect righteousness, and it'll be shown that you exactly that you did mean to do it, you did it willfully, in rebellion against your maker, your lawgiver, and your judge. And God intends to judge you in a perfect righteousness by that man whom he has raised from the dead, even Jesus. Judge Jesus will be your judge in that day. But today he will be your Savior. Today he will clothe you in your right mind. You know, expunge the insanity from your mind, your sin-darkened mind. You know, you embrace these things, you do these things. Why do you do them? Because of the blindness of your mind. Blinded in your mind by sin. To do these things willfully that you do against your maker, against your lawgiver and your judge. Judge Jesus is coming, and coming soon and very soon. And he's coming to judge you in righteousness. He's coming, and you're going to stand before him, and you're going to give account, he says. His word's not mine. He says, you're going to give account for every idle word that you've ever spoken. Never mind the blasphemous words. Never mind the cursing, the swearing. Never mind the evil intended ones. Every idle word you give account for in that day. So today the good news, the glad tidings is declared amongst you. There's a way out, there's a way of escape. But says the Bible, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And that salvation comes to you how? Not by going to church, not by becoming religious, not by subscribing to some pagan form of Christianity, but by being born again of God's Spirit. Your nature, your very nature changed, and the practice changed. Made a new creature in Jesus Christ. You must be born again, Jesus said. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, cannot enter into it. It's only in the way of repentance and faith towards the Son of God, believing on him, believing into him, into Jesus Christ, because in him is salvation alone to be found. In his name alone, neither is there salvation in any other. None other name under heaven given amongst men, your life must be saved. Jesus of Nazareth, man approved of God, attested by God by his resurrection from the dead, the fact that God raised his Son from the dead, the proof, the attestation of God, God's seal of approval upon everything that he said and did. Raise them from the dead. But of course, one day, you too will be raised from the dead. However you die, wherever they put your remains, in the grave, in the fire, in the ocean, You'll be raised. Day of the resurrection. Day when God will raise all men. That's the day when God will judge you in that perfect righteousness. So today now is the day, says God. Now is the day of grace. Now is the time, says God, the only time you have. You haven't got tonight, you haven't got tomorrow. Now, Macclesfield sinners. Now is the time, says God. Now is the time. It's urgent, it's important. You're a sinner, alienated from God, from the life of God, dead in your trespasses and sins, faced with the judgment of God. You're a damn worthy sinner. What if God was to take your soul tonight? What if God was to require your soul this very night? Where would you spend eternity, I ask you? Your soul, your precious soul, that will still be in existence in a million trillion years' time, all eternity. Today, the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings, which is for all people, is declared amongst you. The power of God unto salvation, to save, to change, to transform you, put life into your dead soul, give you eternal life, everlasting life. Whosoever believeth shall not perish, not die in their sin, but have everlasting life. The only answer to everlasting death. But you must repent, you must believe, you must turn. Turn ye, saith the Lord. Why will you die when there is life eternal set before you, offered to you here this very day in Macclesfield Town Centre? Came to his own people, that is, but they did not receive him. But to as many as did receive him, those who believed in his name, Jesus, he gave the power, the right, the authority to become children of God, the way of escape. The only way of escape. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You won't escape. There's only one escape route, and that is you take, receive, believe, confide. You put your confidence in the Son of God and what he has performed, what he has accomplished for sinners. Macclesfield sinners even. You receive the gift of God, the salvation of God, the life of God, eternal life, in receiving Jesus, in receiving the Son of God. So hear his words. Hear his words. His words, not mine. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. God now commanded all men, even you, all men everywhere, to believe, to repent, believe. Repent ye and believe the gospel, says Jesus. For the kingdom of God is at hand, and that's the only way that you can enter into God's kingdom. In the way of repentance and faith. And that must be given to you by the grace of God. Oh, my hope, my prayer for you today, Macclesfield sinner, says that God would deal with you, not according to your sins, but according to his great, great mercy, his free love. That he would come to you, that his word would resonate in your hearts and minds, that he would bring it back to you again and again, that he would chase you, that he would haunt you with it, give you no rest until you find rest, until you find peace beneath the cross of Jesus, where he suffered and bled and died, in order that Macclesfield sinners might be reconciled to God. I hope my prayer for you today, Macclesfield sinners, reconciliation. God's of a disposition to be reconciled with you. Come, you may, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Burden down with your your sin, with its guilt, with your shame and your blame. Come to me with it, says Jesus. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest for your souls. Peace with God, that is, and the peace of God. Impossible, because Jesus has suffered and died. Because he shed his precious blood. Because he's spilled his blood upon that cross in order that you might be washed and made clean. All that defiles you, washed away in his precious blood. And made fit for life, fit for God, and fit one day for heaven. So Macclesfield said, come you may. You do come, Jesus says, come unto me. You got no excuse. What hinders you? What keeps you from coming now to him now? Converting even today, except you become as little children, says Jesus, and be converted. You shall in no wise enter God's kingdom. Turn today, turn now, this very moment. Receive him, believe on his name and salvation. That moment a sinner truly believes, that moment from Jesus of pardon receives forgiveness, eternal life, a new creature. Religion can't do that for you. Read the Bible before?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you'll be familiar with John's Gospel.
Yeah.
John, start with John's Gospel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, enjoy. So there you go again, another demonstration of how easy it is. The lady asked for a Bible, it's given to her. You ask for salvation. Of course, you don't ask me for that, you ask Jesus. Only he can save you. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened up to you. Macclesfield sinners today, don't delay. It's urgent. Where will you spend eternity? What if God was to require your soul this very night? You haven't got tomorrow. You haven't got next week. You haven't got your imaginary old age, you've only got now. So now, do the business. Jesus has done everything necessary. What more could God do for you? Macclesfield sinners, in the greatness of his love, sent you his very best. To live in love and die and rise again from the dead. What more could he do for you? In his love, you are a rebel, a ruined, lost sinner, astray from God, alienated from God, and the life of God. And yet for you, he sends his Son into the world to do all this in order that you might know his love, in order that you might be loved for time and for eternity. I mean, what does it take? Huh? What does it take to shift you, huh? Well, more power than I've got. Power of Almighty God, only He can perform this in you. That's why Jesus says you must be born again. It has to be of God, because only what God does lasts. What you do, that don't last. You go to church, you become religious, read the Bible, you go to a mosque, a synagogue or something, you can do all these things yourself. Make all kinds of efforts, you know, tidy up your life, reform yourself, make yourself good, you know. But it doesn't last. It doesn't last. Nothing that you do lasts, will ever last. Only what God does will last. You must have eternal life. You must be born again to eternal life. God must do the business. I can only tell you. God must make it real to you. I can only tell you the good news. I can only tell you about the love of Jesus. I can only tell you I can only tell you the glad tidings. God must make it real to you. God must come to you. God must perform the surgery in you. In your heart that is changing. Make you a new creature in Jesus Christ. The grace of God, by grace alone, the gift of God, through faith alone in Christ alone, salvation, the way to eternal glory, the way to eternal life set before you, presented to you, offered to you. Take.
Hello, guys.
Hello, sir. How's it going?
My
name's Andrew.
Hello, Andrew.
As I'm sure you can probably imagine, we've had somebody ring up to complain about possible things we might be saying and stuff. Obviously, I can tell you. Just talking about your liberty, freedom of expression, your beliefs, things like that.
Bible, that's also.
Yeah.
It's the Bible.
I'm
just about finished.
Am I okay?
No, I wouldn't give them, Jim.
No,
I wouldn't
no.
give them. We're not giving them to you,
no,
gentlemen.
Not unless you arrest me, like.
No, we're not.
I just
had a phone call.
Just
speaking
from the Bible.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, my name's Jerry. I'm going to hold the head, but I'm a minister of the gospel.
See, as you imagine, like, people ring us up and they'll take offence from their point of view.
Andrew, I get all this.
I knew you were going to call.
I knew,
somebody's going to get it all up.
And then, of course,
you guys have to respond.
I don't mind giving my details at all, but I'll tell you why I won't.
Yeah.
Because there's a man in Macclesfield, I don't know if you're from that station, I'm going to make a complaint eventually. He's absolutely corrupt.
A man?
Yeah. I'm not going to tell you who he is.
A police officer?
Yep. So that turned me against the police, sorry. I've never been in trouble with the police.
Yeah.
Overreaction. So that's, for me, unfortunately, it's painted you all with the same brush.
The thing you have to remember with police officers are, we're like members of the public.
I also have lots of friends in the police, friends in the CID.
It's terrible when that happens, unfortunately. Your best thing is to feel like you're not being treated correctly. Right? To bring in your complaint and get the investigation.
I had a friend who was in the so I respect the police. But that one guy,
Thank you.
The biggest killer is stress. The biggest de-stressor, not a lot of stress, is smoking a pipe. So smoke a pipe and you live long. Yeah, you associate pipes with old men.
It is a dying art, isn't it?
It's becoming more popular. Go on YouTube, there's lots of younger people with their videos on smoking pipes. Apart from when it's windy.
Yeah, it's always tricky then.
You can't light it.
Yeah, that's what you're doing, right?
That's when you need a vape.
Yeah, but it, I didn't realise, Leo, they actually inhale it.
Yes, they do. They inhale the liquid.
Okay, Andy.
What's that, sorry?
If somebody rings the police,
Andy,
do you have to respond?
Okay,
yeah,
so,
if what you're, if whatever's being
I'm
said,
I'm sure it's going to be absolutely fine, but we have to go through a process, so it keeps them happy. Yeah. And then,
whatever's being said, that they found offensive. I appreciate the folks saying,
where you're to next today?
Everybody has their own.
Are you done for the day?
Yeah, I'm teaching my jocks today, it's all the wrong.
Obviously, if there's any crimes committed, then we'll be able to. So,
yeah.
As it is, the person on call, we don't know who they are. But,
can you not arrest them for wasting police time?
No, because they've genuinely called us because they were offended by what's being said. But there's not bad to
The trouble is, they don't always tell the truth, though, they tell lies.
No, exactly, and that's why we come. Yeah. There's two sides, or three, or four sides to every story, so that's why we come and we'll have a chat.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
29.
We found those a little bit more
amenable.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, other than the other guy. But the thing is, the two PCS officers, they were perfect. They were polite.
Are you trying to say we're not being
perfect? No, no.